I clutched the side of the tub as Rosaline went on, not sure I wanted her to.
I heard your daddy tell Mrs. Watson, Janie, you've done more than your share, looking after Lily these past months. I don't know what we would have done without you.
Rosaline looked at me and shook her head.
I always wondered what he meant by that. When you told me what T-Ray said about your mother leaving you, I guess I knew then.
I can't believe you didn't tell me, I said, and folded my arms across my chest.
So how did you find out?
Rosaline asked. August told me, I said. I thought of all that crying I'd done in her bedroom, holding fistfuls of her dress in my hand, the monogram on her handkerchief, scratchy against my cheek.
August, Rosaline repeated.
You don't see Rosaline looking dumbfounded that often, but that's the look she had now. She knew my mother back when she was a little girl in Virginia, I explained. August helped raise her. I waited a few seconds, letting it soak in. This is where my mother came when she left. When Mrs. Watson took care of me, I said. She came right here to this house. Rosaline's eyes grew even narrower, if such a thing was possible.
Your mother,
she said, then stopped. I could see that her brain was struggling to fit it all together. My mother leaving, Mrs. Watson watching me. My mother returning only to get killed. My mother stayed here 3 months before she went back to Sylvan, I said. I guess one day it finally dawned on her. Oh yeah, that's right. I've got a little girl at home. Gee, maybe I'll go back and get her now. I heard the bitter tone in my voice, and it came to me how I could lock that tone into my voice forever. From now on, every time I thought of my mother, I could so easy slip off into a cold place where meanness took over. I squeezed the shell and felt it dig into the pad of skin on my palm. Rosaline got to her feet. I looked at her, how large she was in the little bathroom. I stood up too, and for a second we were sandwiched together between the tub and the toilet, staring at each other. I wish you'd told me what you knew about my mother, I said. How come you didn't?
Oh, Lily, she said, and there was gentleness in her words, like they'd been rocked in a little hammock of tenderness down in her throat. Why would I go and hurt you with something like that?
Rosaline walked beside me to the honey house with a mop flung over her shoulder and a spatula in her hand. I carried a bucket of rags and the spick and span. We used the spatula to scrape honey off places you wouldn't believe. Some of it had gotten all the way over onto August's adding machine. We wiped off the floors and the walls, then went to work on Our Lady. We picked the place up and turned it back the way it was, and the entire time we didn't speak a word. I worked with heaviness inside, with my spirit emptied out. There was my breath curling in hard puffs from my nostrils. There was Rosaline's heart so full toward me it broke through into her sweating face. There was Our Lady, talking with her eyes, saying things I could not make out. And there was nothing else. The daughters and Otis arrived at noon, lugging in all manner of potluck dishes as if we hadn't eaten ourselves sick the night before. They tucked them into the oven to keep warm and stood around in the kitchen sneaking bites of Rosaline's corn fritters, saying they were the finest fritters they'd ever had the pleasure of eating, which caused Rosaline to swell up with pride.
Y'all stop eating up all Rosaline's fritters, June said. They're for our lunch.
Oh, let 'em eat, said Rosaline, which floored me, since she'd been known to smack my hand sideways for pinching a single crumb off her fritters before dinner.
By the time Neil and Zack arrived, the fritters were nearly gone, and Rosaline was in danger of floating off into the atmosphere. I stood numb and plaster stiff in the corner of the kitchen. I wanted to crawl on my knees back to the honey house and ball up in the bed. I wanted everybody to shut up and go home. Zack started toward me, but I turned away and stared down the sink drain.
From the corner of my eye, I grew aware of August watching me. Her mouth was bright and shiny, like she'd rubbed on Vaseline, so I knew she'd been dipping into the fritters, too. She walked over and touched her hand to my cheek. I didn't think August knew about me turning the honey house into a disaster zone, but she had a way of figuring things out. Maybe she was letting me know it was okay. "I want you to tell Zach," I said, "about me running away, about my mother, about everything. Don't you want to tell him yourself?" My eyes started to fill up. "I can't. Please, you do it." She glanced in his direction. "All right, then, I'll tell him the first chance I get." She led the group outside for the last of the Mary Day ceremony. We paraded into the backyard, all the daughters with tiny smudges of grease clinging to their lips. June was out there waiting for us, sitting in an armless kitchen chair playing her cello. We gathered around her while the lights of noontime bore down. The music she played was the kind that sawed through you, cutting into the secret chambers of your heart and setting the sadness free. Listening to it, I could see my mother, sitting on a Trailways bus, riding out of Sylvan, while my 4-year-old self napped on the bed, not yet knowing what I would wake to. June's music turned into air, and the air into aching. I swayed on my feet and tried not to breathe it in.